people used to ask Guy Clark, when do you feel like it's time to make a record? And he'd say, well, it's when you feel like you've got 10 good songs. So it's kind of like that. You go in, start recording, and when they start falling in place and hanging together, you've got a record. These are the words of my guest, yeah. John Hiatt, who has just released his first new record in 4 years, the Eclipse Sessions, on New West Records. And he has come to town for a show at the Taft on November 13th. Good evening for WVXU. I'm Elaine Deal on the phone with John Hiatt. Welcome.
Thanks, Elaine. How are you doing?
I'm great. Where are you talking to us from, John?
We're in Boston. We got a day off. We just finished 3 in a row in New York City. And came down to Boston for the day off, and then we play in Cabot, Massachusetts.
I think the last time you came through Cincinnati, you were touring with Lyle Lovett. Are you still doing some dates with him?
I am. It seems like we get together about once a year. In fact, in the new year, I think we're convening right about the end of January for about 3 or 4 weeks, starting on the West Coast, I think.
And right now, it's all about the Eclipse Session Tour. Talk about this new record a little bit.
Well, you know, it took me a minute to get my bearings on just, well, like you opened up with the Guy Clark quote, and that's about the size of it. You can't make a record until you've got some songs. And it took me a few years to get this batch together. I toured pretty consistently through the aughts and the teens, and the last record, which came out in 2014, we toured that quite a bit. And I think all that sort of wrapped up around the end of 2015. And I came home and started to, I just sort of wanted to slow it down a little bit, pace-wise. You know, I get my bearings and changes, just getting older and changes in my life and so on and so forth. It was sort of waiting for the next, I don't know, guidepost, I suppose. And, you know, the song started coming, I think, around 2000, end of 16, maybe early 17. Next thing you know, I had 14 or 15 together, and I was talking to my friend Kenny Blevins, who's played drums with me since the late 80s, and he mentioned that his friend Kevin McKendry, great keyboard player, has got a little studio out on he and his wife's farm, and we just went out there not really knowing what we were hunting for, not even really wanting to make a record, just I had these songs, and I thought, well, let's get together, and initially we thought just me and Kenny and our old friend Patrick O'Hearn on bass, and we recorded them as a trio, and then Kevin would come in after we'd get two or three, and he'd come in and put piano on one or organ on another. And they sounded just right, and then we'd go home at night, and his son Yates, who was 15 at the time, would come in the evening and put a little guitar part on, electric solo or whatever, and that's sort of how it got made.
And why did you call it the Eclipse Sessions?
Well, we recorded it last summer, and the bulk of the record was done in during that week. Our first sessions were the 19, 20, 21, 22 of August. So the 21st was the eclipse, and of course we took a break and watched the dang thing, as all of Nashville was doing. We were outside of Nashville about 35, 40 minutes, and had a real nice 2.5, almost 2 minutes, 50 seconds. It was pretty dark. We were right in the path. It's about 40 miles south of Hopkinsville, Kentucky, which was the best place to be, according to NASA. So it was pretty amazing.
A lot of John Hiatt fans are going to love this because there are so many aspects of your music represented here. The first single, Cry to Me, who chooses the single, John? Is it you or your label?
Oh, you know, I just sort of let them do what they want to do. I just make the music. I mean, I put it as the first track, and mm-hmm. I kind of thought, well, maybe they'll take a peek at that, but I don't even know what that means anymore. So with me, probably not much, so I'm not too worried about it, but so.
When you write a song, do you hear it in your head as being a band song versus, you know, more of a solo acoustic piece?
You know, not really. I mean, I pretty much write the same way I've written since I wrote my first one when I was 11. I get a little chord pattern going, and then a melody will come if the muse is around, and then I'll get some kind of lyric. An initial blush of some sort of lyric, a line or something, will come instead of just singing nonsense for a melody. I'll sing an actual phrase will pop out or something. Like the first song I ever wrote was about this, I think we were in fifth grade, I was 11 years old, and there was a girl named Beth Ann, and she was a little bit more advanced physically than some of the other girls, and every boy took notice, of course. And, So I think the line that came out was, "Beth Ann, ooh, you're a woman," or something like that. And so that's the basis of my first song ever.
One of the songs that really grasped me was "Nothing in My Heart." Got to be some of the most devastatingly sad lyrics I've ever heard, on top of some of the most beautiful music. How does a piece like that come about?
Yeah, I think everyone felt the devastation of love like that. And yet there's redemption at the end. The guy's perfectly willing to have another go at it. "Don't you even try to hide my love away." In other words, I've been wounded mortally, practically, but I'm next, you know. Mm-hmm. Show me again that it doesn't work. I'm willing, you know. I'm just that much of a fool, because love makes the world go round. So, you know, as much as it hurts, we need it. The feedback I've gotten from the song is just that even though it's dark, it's very hopeful at the end. At least that was my intention.
Chatting with the great singer, songwriter, artist John Hiatt, who is bringing a show to the Taft Theater on November 13th, touring behind the brand new record, The Eclipse Sessions, his first in 4 years. Is this a solo tour, John, or you got a band out?
Yeah, it's just me, and I do two sets, about an hour each, and we take a little 20-minute break in the middle.
You have a lot of connection to this area. Before we began recording, you referred to Cincinnati as the Queen City. Not everyone knows that. What's your connection to the Midwest?
Well, you know, it's close to Indianapolis, of course. It was one of the cities I made one of my many attempts to run away from home. I think I made it to Cincinnati when I was about 15 and spent a night with a bunch of sort of, you know, hippie kids in some abandoned building downtown, I think. And that's about all there was to it. On my way back home. Got home, soon came home. That was my first visit to the Queen City. I think my father was a traveling salesman. He sold metal lockers for schools and companies, lockers for police stations and working outfits, you know, that people would put their work boots and work clothes in and so on and so forth. Lion Metal Company was what it was called. And so he traveled, I think he got Ohio and Indiana and Illinois. Maybe Iowa.
You've lived a lot of places, John Hiatt. Where is home these days?
I've lived in Nashville most of my life. I moved down there when I was 18 from Indianapolis. And then I stayed in Nashville till I was about 27. And then I moved out to Los Angeles for about 5 years and moved back to Nashville when I was 32. And I met my second wife in Nashville. We've been married 32 years. Is that right? 32 years, yeah. And we have three kids. I had a 2-year-old when we met, who she adopted. My first wife died. And then, she had an 8-year-old, so it was yours, mine, and ours. We had a baby when we were 2 years married. So three kids, 40, 34, and 30.
Yeah, and of course your daughter Lily followed in your footsteps. You get to work with her very often?
Yeah, she's pretty amazing. Yes. And our youngest, Georgia, is a social worker back home in Nashville. And then our oldest, Rob, builds houses and things of that nature, commercial construction. So loves that sort of work. So everybody's thriving.
That's great news. And I've told that you have amassed quite a collection of guitars across the course of your many years.
You know, I'm not a collector, really. I got a passion back in the 90s. I started buying, back when they were cheap. They're not anymore, but I used to go out and buy cheap plywood guitars. I love the sound of like old K's and harmonies, the stuff the old blues guys used to use, essentially because they couldn't afford anything else. And those were the tones that I grew up listening to. And so I would go looking for those kind of electric guitars, and even K and harmony, you know, acoustic guitars I thought sounded really great. But, you know, you could buy them for $100, $200 in those days. Now they're in the thousands like everything else. But, I don't have any really. I've got an old Gibson LG2 that I bought off a guy in 1986. It's a 1954 model. And I just recently bought another one that's a 1942. I paid $600 for the first one I bought, and this one cost some thousands of dollars. I was kind of shocked. You know, I'm from the Midwest. I have a real problem spending that kind of money on myself. I'm just not built that way. You know, it's always like oh my, I always think of my mother. You know? Like, oh my, maybe we should save our green stamp book to get that. Well, it's a bit too much. So, you know, I've got some interesting pieces, but nothing. I don't amass things. Things just aren't that important.
What's your touring acts?
Well, I got these two LG2s out with me, and I love them. And I got two guitars from this guy, Paul Reed Smith, at a reduced artist price. He was very kind to me. And I really like his acoustic guitar, so I carry one of those. And then I use a particular kind of, I've been using these Lloyd Baggs magnetic pickups. It's called the MA. I've been using magnetic pickups stretched across the sound hole for the last probably 12 years or so, as opposed to those under-the-saddle piezo-style pickups. But I've recently got onto the Lloyd Baggs pickups, and I like the way they sound. That makes a pretty good acoustic sound.
Talking with songwriter John Hiatt, who will bring his Eclipse Tour to Cincinnati for a show at the Taft on November 13th. I'm sure you've got to go. I appreciate your time. But I do want to ask you, in researching to talk to you, I was kind of stunned by some of the names of people who have covered some of your tunes. I mean, we all know about Aaron Neville and Roseanne Cash and Bonnie Raitt, but really, Iggy Pop? What did he do?
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, I'm really proud of the rich, varied list of artists who've done songs. I mean, Paula Abdul, Iggy Pop, Johnny Adams, the soul singer from New Orleans, who's long since passed. Of course, Eric Clapton and B.B. King, which was a real honor. The Neville Brothers, of course. A lot of varied artists, Eddie Lou Harris, Willie Nelson. And that's been one of the most thrilling things to me, that my songs seem to connect with a lot of different kinds of artists.
Yeah, I think there are songs in your catalog that people have heard in movies or other artists do that maybe don't even know that you wrote. You actually were employed as a staff songwriter. I don't know if that job description even exists anymore, but you did that when you first went to Nashville, didn't you?
Well, I wrote for Tree Publishing Company, and when I first got there, they gave me an advance of $25 a week. And I said, look, I don't know how to write country songs or anything like that. So I think they were just figuring, well, you know, we'll just keep him around. Maybe he'll get his own record deal or something, which is exactly what happened within a couple of years. And they were just sort of rolling the dice that maybe something would happen. And yeah, within a couple of years, I got signed to Epic Records out of New York, and we made a record. And I think my first cover was Three Dog Night did a song of mine called Sure As I'm Sitting Here, which I think it was a top 20 on the pop charts, and made them $25 a week back. So I'm sure they were happy.
No wonder you don't want to buy that expensive
guitar. It was a great experience. In fact, I bought my first ever brand new car. It was a Toyota Corolla 1973, and they co-signed the loan for me. Tax and license out the door, $1,753.
Yeah. Oh, such a life you've had.
Yeah.
In 1979, when John Hiatt arrived in Nashville, he slept on a bench in Centennial Park.
1970.
In 1970, John Hiatt spent that first night in Nashville. Since then, he's become known as one of America's finest writers, with a gift for storytelling, warmth, humor, and devastatingly deep, touching emotions. He's been entertaining audiences for years. He's got a whole new batch of songs on a record called The Eclipse Sessions, brand new album from John Hiatt on New West Records. He'll perform those songs and more at a solo acoustic concert on Thursday, November 13th, 7:30 p.m. at the Taft Theater, downtown Cincinnati. John, we look forward to seeing you.
Elaine, thank you so much. Come out and see us, and I'm looking forward to playing.
Absolutely. Stay healthy on the road, my friend, and we'll see you soon in Cincinnati. For WVXU, I'm Elaine Deal.
Well, you school me and you cool me, baby, don't you ever stop. Seven nights of heaven, 11 days of who shot who. Seven come 11, I like the odds of love in you. Mm-hmm. about you. You wanna save me from myself, and I keep thinking of all the nights I spend alone. While I'm stubborn and I'm stupid, baby, would you please come home? Seven nights of heaven, 11 days of Bouchardi. Seven come 11, I like the odds of love in you. I like the odds of love in you. Like the odds of loving you.